Thanks for tuning into the ES First podcast. We'd love to connect with you on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter. So take a minute to hop on over and give us a like or a follow. And of course, if you're ever in Excelsior Springs, stop on by. We can't wait to welcome you home.
We are talking about Christmas and what it means to live like a child. So last week we talked about some deep theological things. And then sometimes we get so wrapped up in how we should believe or, these churchy words or these concepts that make us feel spiritual. They make us feel like we're really kind of tapping into what God is and what he wants for us. But in the Gospels, Jesus is hanging out and he's teaching a bunch of adults, and a bunch of kids walk up or run up to him and they kind of tackle him and romp on him, and all the disciples are like, hey, get out of here, kids. You can't do that to Jesus. And Jesus actually looks at all the adults and says, don't stop the kids from coming to me, because the people who will enter into the kingdom of heaven have to enter it like a child. Like a child. And so sometimes for us, we get all wrapped up in how we should believe in theological doctrines and, you know, determinism and Calvinism and Arminianism and this and that, and Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues and how to plead the blood and all these spiritual things we've learned all of our lives. But in fact, God says if you don't come to him, approach him, and enter into his presence like a little child, you'll never actually enter into the kingdom of heaven. So for us, a lot of times, we think of the kingdom of heaven as a far-off place, heaven, clear up there, pearly gates, clouds, whatever. And so we think, if we don't enter like a little child, we'll never actually get to heaven, which is probably true. It's probably what he's saying. But also, when Jesus was on the earth, his one intention for everybody was that I am here to bring the kingdom of heaven to you. He actually looked at religious people and was like, look, I know why you're nervous, because you understand that if I'm healing people and stuff is happening and miraculous things, miracles and things are happening around you, then actually you have to decide whether or not that actually the kingdom of God is coming near you in me or not. And so our goal, we love heaven. Right? Anybody here love heaven? We love the idea of heaven. It's going to be an amazing place. A good old Salty, the singing songbook songs like, heaven is a wonderful place. Some of you guys don't know what that is, but I'm a church kid, so there you have it. We used to sing songs like that. We are looking forward to heaven, but really what we really want is a little bit of heaven right here. We want God to respond to us. We want God to connect with us. We want to be in his presence. We want to know him in a greater way. We want his intervention in our lives, right? And so what Jesus is saying is like, unless you come to God and approach him like a child, you'll never enter into a lifestyle where you are interacting with the kingdom of heaven right here, right now. How do we know this? Well, the disciples came to Jesus and they said, when you pray, teach us how to pray. And Jesus says, when you pray, pray like this: Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God's will is always done in heaven. It's not always done on earth. And so we have to understand that when we approach God like a child, simplicity, a lot like Christmas, right? Kids love Christmas. Why? Because it's like they get to receive, and they get this whole, like, you know, they walk into a house and the Judah walks into the house and there's Christmas lights and Christmas lights. There's lots and lots and lots and lots of Christmas in here. Like, they feel this thing, this wonder, this joy, this amazement about the season. And so for us, we need to remember that we need to approach God with the same kind of wonder and awe and amazement as a child has at Christmas. It's so easy to get jaded about our relationship with God or church or Christmas or whatever it is and begin to become bitter and complaining about all the things that God is not doing, instead of coming into his presence like a child and receiving with the simplicity of a 3, 4, 5, 6-year-old. You want to see some wonder? Just go look at the Remax page this week and see the Grinch and all the pictures of all the little kids looking at the Grinch. I mean, we got Capri Jones. She's like petrified. She's like, right? Wonder and awe and amazement. So we're going to talk about that. So last week we talked about how we need to understand as kids, a really simple thing about God is that God is for us. A lot of times that's hard to convince ourselves that God is for us because we're told by so many people all of our lives that God's going to get you, right? God's going to get you for that. God's going to get, God don't like ugly, you know. We all these terms that we think about God, and I know one particular parent who says his sister says this, but he's like, I'm going to talk to God about you tonight when they're bad. What? I mean, come on, we are ingrained with this idea that if we don't please God in just the right way, that he is going to come back and get us. So it's a really powerful thing to realize that God is for you. The Bible says that he's going to give you a future and a hope, that your best is always ahead of you. Here's one verse from Psalms or Proverbs I want to give to you, 4:18, real quick. Is the path of the righteous is like the morning sun, shining ever brighter into the full light of day. That your life as a Christian is ever growing brighter. So many times we think that the brightness is behind, right? You get up in the morning and your knees don't work so good and your back, you know, kind of got a crick in it. And you're like, man, my brightness is fading. But it's not. It's actually ahead. Your glory days are not in high school, college. Your glory days are not when you were married. Your glory days are not when your kids were at home. Your glory days are not back then. Your glory days are always, always ahead. And so we know that God gives us a future and a hope. He has plans to prosper us and not to harm us. Now, that's a very kind of, you know, generic verse, it feels like, but there's such power in it if we can internalize it and believe that God is really for us. He wants to increase us. He doesn't want to hurt us. How many people in here want to hurt their children? Well, sometimes. You want the best for them, right? And so sometimes a momentary setback, like I'm going to take your phone for the week, helps them become who they're supposed to be later, right? But they don't see in those moments sometimes when they're going through discipline how we want what's best for them. Not that you're like, you know, running over them with a car when they make a bad decision, like, oh yeah, I got you in a car accident, didn't I? Or, you know, inject them with some kind of terminal illness and say, oh, you're gonna die, I shouldn't have done that. But that's how we approach the Father, right? So many times we miss the concept that our best is ahead, and he's always working towards an end goal that is amazing and beyond our wildest dreams. God is for you. So today, we're going to talk about this word in the Bible. It's omnipresence. Now, that's a big word, and most of us kind of have heard it before, and we'll throw it out there. It means that God is everywhere at the same time. God is everywhere at the same time. Now, when you're a kid, you begin to kind of like understand this concept that God is everywhere, right? Your parents are like, God sees you, right? He sees you when you're sleeping. Oh, that's a different guy. But we understand that God is everywhere, right? And then somewhere along the way, we're like, you know, screw it. I don't care if God sees me. I'm going to do what I want, right? And we understand that God sees, and we're excited that God sees some things, and we just come to the terms that I don't care if God sees this, he's just going to have to take me as I am, right? And we just kind of live however we want, we do what we want, and we lose touch. We can become desensitized to the fact that God is actually always with us. He's omnipresent. And we kind of water it down, and we make it into a whole other thing, but actually what it means is that God is always with you. Now, this, if we really get a hold of this, this means that you can stop complaining about, you know, all the times you feel like you're on your own. All the times when you cry to everybody else like that, nobody understands me. Yeah, somebody does. All those moments where like when you try to tell a friend and you're explaining a story, and like, well, I guess you just had to be there. Like there's none of that for God. Like when you explain, when you go to God in prayer, sometimes you spend most of the time telling God all about the situation, don't we? But as a matter of fact, God is always there. And the Bible says that he can actually be so present in your life that he is, I like to think that he's a part of every molecule, a part of every atom, a part of every part of my body God is in. Like there's not a thing in my body that God does not know. He knows my blood pressure is high. My blood pressure is too low. He knows when I have high blood sugar. He knows when I have hypoglycemia. He knows all those things. He knows exactly everything about my body. Why? Because he can get in there. He can get in there, right? And so the same is true about your emotions. The same is true about your thoughts. The same is true about your feelings, your history, your past, your future. God is there in every part of it. You cannot limit him from something that he is continually a part of. God is always with me. Hebrews tells us that he divides between soul and spirit. That's deep. We can't even understand it. We say, oh, he divides between soul and spirit. Well, bless God. It sounds so spiritual, but it's like he knows the difference between when he speaks to you and you speak to you. He knows the difference when he gives you an idea and you have an idea. He knows all of your needs before you ever ask. He knows your thoughts from afar off. We think that means he's like up in heaven and he can read your thoughts. No, I think he's a God that's close and he's at hand. But I think that he knows your thoughts before you even think them, the far off thoughts. Now imagine that for a moment, and everything that you've been trying to justify in your life comes down to this. I don't feel like God is for me. I don't feel like God is with me. I don't feel like God is near me. And most of the time we live our lives trying to figure out how to get God close when he's already with us all the time. It's tough to really think about this during Christmas time because so many times we're so caught up in who's there, who's not there, who's gonna show up, who's not gonna show up. I had one friend that was so upset about a family member that is going, and he had just cause, gonna show up to a Christmas dinner that he would not go. And it transformed his whole life. And when I sat down and talked to him, he's like, I feel like the things that happened in my life were a direct result of the day that I said I'm not going to go. And I told them why I wouldn't go. And so many times we put on us some kind of strain, some kind of weight that has to do with who is not there or who is there, rather than the fact that God is always there. He's always there. And the Bible talks about how incredible this is in this one word. It says that his name should be called Emmanuel. Emmanuel. Now we see that name and we think about it, and it means that God, it means God with us. Emmanuel, God with us. And so we dumb that down because we're kind of uncomfortable about this thing that God knows everything. He's everywhere at the same time. He's in our lives. He's there when I do stupid stuff. He's there when I think stupid stuff. He's there, you know, every second of every single day. There's nothing that is hidden from him, the Bible says. And we just go, oh, that means that Jesus is going to come as a baby. God with us. He'll be with us and he'll live on this planet. He'll be a human being. It'll be amazing. We have God with us. But actually, because Jesus came as a baby to become God with us, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ, dwells within us all the time. It becomes an interaction with God that is unlike any other action that you've ever had. And it's so important. And if you become aware of it, if you become connected to it, it'll change your entire life, especially when it's tied to the simple fact that God is for me. And God is always with me. Imagine that. Imagine that. And most of the time we think that God is such a complete jerk that he's there, but he's not talking. He's there, but he wants no interaction. He's there, but, you know, he's kind of like, you know, you pick him up from the airport and you drive all the way home and you're like, hey, how was the flight?
Good.
How'd it go? What do you want to do? Like God has nothing to say. Like God is an impersonal God, but actually God is a very personal God. He's intimately involved with every part of your life. Every part of your life. So the first thing I want to tell you, first of all, is that when we understand that God is with me, it changes things from a children's perspective. For instance, my son, a lot of times we spend the mornings together, and he will wake up in the morning. And the first thing he does when he wakes up, all the girls are off to school and they're doing their thing. He goes to school at noon. And he will come looking for me. Daddy. Daddy! Daddy! Now, he knows that he's not there by himself. He's never been there by himself. Ever. Ever by himself. Sometimes I'll be in another room. Sometimes I'll be downstairs in the basement. Sometimes I'll be upstairs and he's downstairs. And he'll start crying. Son, where are you? Son, where are you? What's wrong? He's like, I couldn't find you. I said, you know, son, that I was upstairs. I just called your name. I know, but I just wanted some cereal. Like, come now. There's a difference between being near somebody or with somebody and having your presence in the same room. Don't believe me, just hang out with somebody who loves their cell phone. When somebody's presence is there, engaged with you, it's different than just being in the same house, right? One time my son comes in, he's like, Dad, it's a Superman picture. There's a Superman picture on my wall and it's jumping. But what was happening, the thunder was so loud it was shaking the house and it was shaking his picture. I said, son, that's just the thunder. He's like, no, Superman is shaking. And so no matter if he knew that I was in the same house, it wasn't really comforting to him until he was right up next to me. To know that God is with you all the time is different from knowing that his presence is near and close. Kids enjoy physical touch. Kids enjoy presence on another level. It's not just like, you know, you're on that couch, I'm on this couch. They like to be just like, you know, grinding on you, you know, like, rah, like, man, you're killing me, bro. My chin just got popped 5 times from your noggin. But that's really the way God's presence is with us. It's close. And so the first thing we need to know about God's presence is that we need to talk with God. If God is always there and we're wondering about him not being there, it usually has to do with a break in communication that is not his, but it's ours. And talking to God is pretty intense because, like, we really don't know how to pray, right? We learn from somebody else, like, okay, well, I gotta fold my hands. I'm trying to do all this. Fold my hands and close your eyes, right? I remember this when I was like 6 years old. Let's see. Class, why do we fold our hands? I still don't know why we fold our hands. Why do we close our eyes? I don't know why we close our eyes. And say this, dear Jesus, right? And we gotta come up with like some way that we talk that we never say to anybody else. I come to you today asking for, right? Don't act all spiritual like you guys like have this thing. You have a way that you pray, right? Somebody taught you along the way how to approach God, but you're not understanding that God is always with you. As a matter of fact, when we don't talk to God, we're as guilty of ignoring him like somebody who sits in the car with you and says nothing. Who sits on the couch with you and says nothing. Can you imagine God always wanting to engage with you and you don't engage with him? Why? Because you're like, I just don't know how to talk to him. I don't know. It's like, he's right there. Give it a whirl. Like, we're like freaking middle schoolers at a dance. I don't know. Her friend said she liked me. Like, pastor said God liked me. It's like, give it a whirl. Just talk to him. Just talk to him. We want to make prayer something super spiritual, but actually Jesus died so that we can have conversation and not formality. So think about this. We have to start with just talking to God. Just start talking to God. And so the Bible says a few things about prayer. Here's one. In Psalm 54, it says, hear my prayer, O God. Listen to the words of my mouth. Okay, so somewhere, maybe somebody told you, you know, God can just read your thoughts. Just think the prayer. Well, that's cool. But does that work when I'm hanging out with my dad? Does that? And oftentimes, like, my dad can probably read my thoughts half the time because he raised me, you know, like 850 Sundays. I mean, rocking it. He knows everything about me. I know something's wrong, son, and I even know what's wrong with you. I know what is pressuring you, and I could probably fix it right now, but go ahead and talk to me. Because when I talk, it's actually something that's good for me. And oftentimes, we miss out on a relationship with God because we're not willing to talk, and the talking is actually good for you. It's good for you. And oftentimes, we think that this means that God only wants us to bring our dirt to him, our crap to him, When we're going through a hard time, talk to him. Now, any relationships in your life where it works out really good if you don't talk to the person except for when you need something? Any relationships like that work out really good? You're like, hey, those are great relationships. I love those relationships. Like, I never talk to them until they're ready to dump, and then they just unload. And people say stuff like, well, I'm good at talking to God. I just unload everything. I'm just real with God. It's like, are you real when you're like, wow, that tree looks awesome? Those moments when you're like, I wish somebody was here, and God's like, you know, big cosmic being, colossal superpower. That's the kind of connection we have that we get to partake in. Have you ever wondered something and Googled it before you ask God? All the time, right? Because nobody thinks to ask God something that they could ask Google. Right? God, I wonder why bumblebees are not supposed to be able to fly. I wonder, do frogs eat bumblebees? Or they steer clear because they're stingers. You ever just ask God stuff like that and wait for the answer to show up? No. You want to know why you don't? Because you don't realize that God is that present. Your prayer is related to God based on your need and not your relationship. When we begin to talk to God about our feelings, our thoughts, our emotions, tell him stories even though he already knows, that was a wonderful day. Thank you, God, for letting me be a part of that day. All of a sudden, a relationship opens up. And you know what? You begin to hear the voice of God more clearly. You begin to feel a presence there that you're actually interacting with instead of building a wall between because you don't know what to say because somebody told you that you only approach God a certain way. Dear Mr. Jesus, it's nice when you're a kid, but you have to realize that God wants to have a relationship with you that's beyond formality. Next one. The second thing we need to do is we need to listen to him. We need to listen to him because when God speaks, there's power in that. How does God speak? Well, he speaks through his word. We know that he speaks through the Bible. We read that, right? Have you read the Bible and be like, ah, wow, there's something there. It's like, that's good. That's for me. And then sometimes you read the Bible, you're like, that's not for me. That's for Chris Kutzley or somebody. I don't know. It's not definitely not me. God can speak through the word, but actually there's no power in these pages. There's power in Jesus, who makes the word come to life. There's power in his spirit, which illuminates the words on the page and brings them to life. There's power in hearing the voice of God speak to you and saying, that's you. He brings back scripture to memory. He steers you on the path you should go. He can actually take circumstances and speak to you through your circumstances. There's times when I've been talking to Judah, saying something, and God's like, yep, that's what I've been trying to tell you. You ever done that? Speaking to your own kid. Man, God, wouldn't it be awesome if I could hear from you every single day? It's like, that's what I'm saying. That's what I've been trying to tell you. I'm present. What's the problem? You keep moving away, building a wall when I am near to you every single second of every single day. Well, God, you just wouldn't understand. I mean, really? I'm there for everything. I actually sent my son to become a man so he could understand everything you're going through. So that I could understand what it's like to be a human being on this planet. That's in the Bible, actually. I didn't make that up. I make up some stuff, but that didn't make that up today. We need to listen to him. Most of the time, our prayer life is built on talking and not listening. Take time to just be still and listen to the voice of God. When's the last time you said, God, I'm going to sit here and listen. I want you to download into me, speak to me so that I can hear something. And what you want is you want, like, I want you to live your life like this in 40 years in this great scheme of things. Sometimes it's just like, I want you to go left. Like, that sounds stupid. Just try it. You'd be surprised where God will lead you if you'll follow little directions. Text Allie right now. What? That's stupid. That just came to me. Well, maybe. Or maybe that's God. How do you know unless you try? How do you know unless you give it a whirl? How do you know unless he speaks to you and you act on it if it's really him in that moment or not? Take time to listen to God. Take time to listen to God. So the next thing you got to do is you got to receive from him. Kids receive from anybody very well, don't they? As a pastor's kid, you know, people would give us stuff, but I never received anything quite like Reagan Block has received. Okay, now when Reagan was born, there was an older gentleman in our church who's gone on to be with the Lord, but his name is Gino. And every time Reagan and Gino were in the same room, Gino lavished gifts on my daughter. And he worked like at, you know, like one of these little, you know, antique fair things. And so he had crap he gave to her all the time. She would come home like, I got all this stuff. I got a Dora with growing hair that talks weird. And I'm like, that's really weird. Let's throw that in the trash. Like, no. Like, I don't know where this came from, Reagan. Like, they can't have this. Just stuff. All the time. You know what? She was never like, Gino, I got too much crap. You know, I can't accept this. This is too much. She was like, yeah, bring on the stuff. Kids receive really well. Somewhere along the way, you got really good at not receiving. And somewhere along the way, you got really good at not receiving from God. As if you already had enough. Right? As if you were kind of putting God out to receive what he was trying to give you. Right? How arrogant of you. Bless your heart. How arrogant of you to stop receiving from your Heavenly Father. How bad of you to look at God and say, no, I got this. No, I'm good. What are some things that God wants to give you? He wants to give you peace. We all know that, right? Because we don't have peace and we want peace. But actually, God says that he will give you peace. Actually, he says that he is already giving you peace as you just keep your mind stayed on him. In other words, God says, I got that. I'll take care of it. I'm giving you peace. And you're like, yeah, but, and you keep rehashing the same old things. He says, you understand, you have peace. Focus on me. But we don't want to do that. God, I mean, I don't want to put you out by always asking you for peace. He's like, look, it's my job. I'm the Prince of Peace. It's what I do. And you got another route, another thing, another plan. What else he wants to give? He wants to give you joy. There's enough Christians running around that want to be mad and torqued off at every single thing. Did you know that? There's some Christians that are just rotten, bitter people. They're saved. Jesus loves them too. So I have to love them. But I don't like to hang out with them. They start telling stories and talking about people and talking about their lives. I was like, you know what? Bless you. I don't want anything to rub off on me. And like, I want to put like a spiritual, like, you know, surgical mask on. Don't give me any of that. But God has given you joy. He says, walk in that joy. Just wake up every morning and start walking in joy. We used to sing, you know, a song, the joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength, right? And we go, if you want joy, you must laugh for it, right? And we go, ha, 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 ha. And you know what? By the time you get done with that song, you are joyful. Like, if you want joy, you must clap for it. If you want joy, you must clap for it. And if that didn't verse thing, if you want joy, you must jump for it. Start off that and go, the joy of the Lord is my strength. And you'd be like, I feel pretty joyful now. You have everything that God wants to give you, but you choose something else other than what he's given you. We're like spoiled children that have amazing toys. We've opened them all up at the tree and we go, you know what? I was really hoping for that over there. I want that. But my cousin got that. But this isn't quite what I wanted. I wanted the one that was blue. And this is why Paul says, I want you to be content with all things, because actually it doesn't mean that you should stop receiving from God, is that you should realize that God's perfect presence is giving you what you need exactly in that moment if you will live in it instead of looking at every other thing to be your God. Kids don't say, this is too much, it's too expensive, I'm sorry, I can't receive this. God wants to give you comfort. Peace and joy are one thing, but comfort, I don't know about that. Could I really have rest to lay down at night and close my eyes and just be comforted by God? Does God do that? This is what the Bible says about it. It says, praise be to the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all of our troubles. All our troubles? Yeah. You mean even the ones that I created, the issue, the problem? Yeah. Even the ones, I mean the really bad ones? Yeah. All your troubles. Could it be the reason why you don't talk to God is because all you do is keep bringing up the same old troubles when he is saying, I'm comforting you. I love you in that. And you can't even talk to him about anything else because you won't receive his comfort. I got you. I got you. Isaiah 66:13 says, as a mother comforts her child, so I will comfort you. What's the first thing a child does when they smash their finger in the door? They're like, oh, it's fine, I got it. They run from mom, right? What's wrong? I don't know. Is there any bleeding? Did you break anything? I don't know. As a mother comforts her child. You ever known a mother to just slap their kid and be like, get it together? Well, sometimes. But not when the kid needs comfort. They have a way of comforting like nobody else. And God says, the way a mother comforts her child, I'll comfort you. My presence is that close. And this is my favorite one for Christmas. It says to enjoy his presence. The Bible says, in his presence is fullness of joy, and at his right hand are pleasures forever. Pleasures forever. You know what's pleasure to me? Homemade Chex Mix. Not that store-bought crap that just, you know, people, once that came out, they stopped making real Chex Mix at home. Like, I just buy a bag of Chex Mix. No, you won't. You're going to make some in a pan. I'll just buy the mix. No, you go up in that cupboard, you get grandma's recipe, and you put it in that pan. Yeah. That's pleasure. What else is pleasure? Maybe for you, it's sitting in the woods for countless hours, freezing your butt off, waiting for a deer to walk through. I don't know why, but stick with that. For some reason, for me, it's putting my feet on a skateboard. I don't know why. Maybe for you, it's watching your children sleep. Maybe it's having everybody in the same house with like a rustling sound of din that doesn't ever stop, that comforts you. But it's a pleasure that actually God says those kind of pleasures are in my presence. That when all that's gone, some kind of earthly thing, that when your kids go from infants to college and they're out of the house, when you come home from work and there's nothing more to be done and you're like, what do I do now? That God is giving you pleasures forever because his presence is there with you if you remain in it, if you'll rest in it, if you'll receive it, if you'll speak to him, if you'll listen to him, if you'll understand that his omnipresence is not kind of some kind of cosmic, he sees you when you're sleeping, he knows when you're awake, he knows if you've been bad or good, but actually that he cares for you. He cares for me. In every pleasure that I've ever sought out in my whole entire life, standing El Matador Beach in Malibu, California, playing music before 20,000 people. Quiet moments where I experienced the presence of God in such a way it brought me to tears for hours, experiencing the glory of God. Every pleasure that I've ever sought after is really in him. And that presence is with you always. So why are you complaining? Why do you keep telling God all about everything else that needs to be done, that needs to happen in your life so that you can get to the place where you can enjoy it and it can be a great life when in fact your life today at this moment is great because of his presence, but you're not aware of it? Become aware of the presence of a Father. You got to silence some voices. You got to sit in the car a little bit longer before you go into that meeting, before you go into work, before you go into that restaurant, before you go home. And you have to say, God, I know you're there because you said it. Let me know it for real. Right here in this second. Just become aware of his presence. When you're cleaning up poop off your kid's butt or the walls, smile a little bit and say, God, I know you're here. I know you see this. When you're trying to figure out the next move to make, God, I know you're here. And you have a future for me. Where do I go from here? I know you're here. God, I got some questions, and I know you don't have all the answers for me, even though you know. Can I just talk about what my mind is thinking right now? Why? And you'll hear him say things like, my grace is sufficient for you. The joy of the Lord is your strength. I will give you peace that you can't even understand. And people will say, well, how are you really doing? You look tired. You look worn out. You look depressed. I'm sorry, you look a little angry, and you just say, I don't know any of the things you're talking about. I'm sure I reflect some of that. But all I know is right now, the joy of the Lord is my strength. That his grace is sufficient for me. That in every circumstance, he is the rock at the bottom. That anything there is to accomplish, I have the faith for it. That God is taking me from glory to glory to glory. I'm sorry if my life doesn't look like what you thought it should look like, but it looks exactly like what God thinks I should look like. I'm trusting him in this moment. And when you walk away and you think something else about me, when you walk away and you have some kind of opinion, when you walk away and you're praying for something in my life, just know that God has never left my side. He is present. Would you stand to your feet today? I'm sorry to keep you with so long today, but I feel like God wants you to know that he is present in your life, especially during this season. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes on me? Heavenly Father, I know that your word, your prophetic word, your rhema word is going forth today. Let it become everything that you meant for it to be. I pray, Lord, that we do not become a bottleneck to the presence and goodness of God in our life. Jam in our life with so much stuff that we miss out on the fact that you're always there. You're not punishing us by being silent. As a matter of fact, you're constantly speaking into our life. Help us to receive all that you have, all that you want to do, and all that we will become by your power and your Holy Spirit today. In Jesus' name, amen.